Our scripture lesson for tonight comes from John chapter 13. Listen for God's word. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The word of God for the people of God. So how do you handle uncomfortable moments? Tonight's scripture reading has to be one of the most uncomfortable moments in the Bible. Jesus has gathered with his disciples for the Passover meal. He has just taught them what it means to be their teacher by washing their feet. And just before our passage said to his disciples, "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." Then he said, "One of you will betray me." How do you respond to such a direct statement? "One of you will betray me." First, the disciples looked around the room at one another, wondering about whom Jesus was talking. Then Jesus made it pretty plain who it was. "It's the one to whom I give this piece of bread." Then Jesus gave it to Judas. Seems pretty clear who's going to betray him. But the disciples didn't understand why Jesus said or did what he did. Did he just call Judas out? No. He was telling Judas to go buy something for the festival. I think he wants Judas to make a donation to the poor on our behalf. He couldn't be saying what we just heard. They came up with all kinds of reasons so they didn't have to look at Judas or Jesus or maybe even look up at one another. Still, Judas was going to betray Jesus into the hands of authorities who wanted to stop Jesus from gaining any more power and or control over people. Jesus said what others didn't want to hear. After Judas left, John, the author, makes sure to tell us that it was night. Judas was setting in motion the events of the next few days that would plunge Jesus, his disciples, and all of us who walk with Jesus into darkness. And Jesus responds to seeing Judas leave to tell his disciples, "I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." That's the way of Jesus that takes us into the darkness of these days. The way Jesus loved and the way we're called to love one another. It's strange that Jesus chose this moment, the awkward moment, the uncomfortable moment, to give his disciples that commandment. Why not back when he started healing people or eating with sinners or touching the outcast or raising the dead? I imagine it probably wouldn't have had the same impact or maybe even the same importance to us if he had. But now, at the beginning of the night and the darkness into which Judas walked and Jesus would soon be forced to follow, that's when the love Jesus came to live and show us became most real. As I have thought about how the love of Jesus leads us to this night, and then to Good Friday, and then to Holy Saturday, I was reminded of a passage that Dinah Butler Bass wrote in her book, Freeing Jesus. She says, "Children, slaves, soldiers, peasants, fishermen, farmers, prisoners, the sick, the blind, the lame, when they encountered Jesus, they found salvation, the wholeness, the healing, the oneness with God that had only been the stuff of longing. Every miracle, every act of hospitality, all the bread broken and wine served, everything that Jesus did saved people long before Rome arrested him and murdered him. It was all this loving and healing and saving that got him in trouble with authorities. He was not killed so that his death would save people. He was killed because he was already saving them. He threatened a world based in fear, one held in the grip of Roman imperialism, by proving that a community gathered in love, setting a table of plenty, and living in peace with a compassionate God. No empire can stand if the people it oppresses figures out that reconciliation, love, liberation, and oneness hold more power than the sword." So Rome lynched Jesus, tortured him, and hung him on a tree. It was all of this loving that Jesus had already done and would continue to do that led him and leads us to this night, and to the violence and death of tomorrow, and to the quiet despair and grief of Saturday. The world can't handle salvation, wholeness, healing, and oneness. The empire, the powers and principalities that seem to control this world, they are threatened when people aren't afraid, but instead gather in love as a community, set a table, wash each other's feet, and thereby stand with the powerless, the hurt, the lonely, the ill, and watch for how God will save us too. We don't need to feel guilty or bad about ourselves this night. We need this night to remember the path that Jesus calls us to walk with him, the way of love. Then we can remember how to walk more deeply into the darkness with this love and to be a community of love God intends, offering the salvation and wholeness Jesus is already making real in this world, and showing this world that the power of love can carry us through even the darkest moments and days as we trust in Jesus as our way, our truth, and our life. Amen.